My last sermon in the series of I Am. There is one more, and that's Easter Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it. From the readings, what is the I Am of today? Anybody? Nope. It's what you get, but it's could be right, but it's not my right. From the readings, anybody listen to the reading? I am sending you. Oh, this one's munted.
Where's...
There you go. I am sending. And this is a real exciting one. It's not so much about who Jesus is, although it actually tells us a lot about who Jesus is, because if he is sending us, he is also very trusting of the church with this incredible mission of God. Now, sending or being sent is actually mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. It's a huge theme right through the Bible from beginning to end about being sent. We have Adam and Eve being sent out of the garden. We have Noah sending out a raven and a dove. We have Abraham being sent to a land that he did not know. We have Moses. And this is what God says. I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. So Moses is being sent. But it's in the New Testament as well. Jesus is sent by the Father. Sent to this planet, Earth, by the Father. Paul and Barnabas are set aside and sent out. Timothy was sent. And so it comes to our scripture for this morning, John 20, 19 to 23. On the evening of the first day of the week, this is after the resurrection, we're sort of jumping after Easter. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, this isn't just the 12 disciples, this is the embryo church. Probably about 120, they reckon there were 120 gathered for the day of Pentecost, about the same number. These are the disciples, these are the ones who have decided to follow Jesus. And they're all together, the doors are locked because they're scared of the Jewish leaders. And Jesus came and stood among them. You imagine, it's about who we've got here today. What if, right in the middle of me boring you with my words, Jesus came and stood in the middle? Imagine what that would be like. I'd love to have been there. He said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side where he was pierced by the spear. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And here's the heart of this morning's message. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So what was Jesus sent for? To seek and save the lost. Amongst all the things that he did, this was the heart of what he was being sent for, to seek and save the lost. And just as the Father sent Jesus, Jesus is now sending the disciples, and he still sends us. Guess what? You're a sent one. Jesus has sent you with purpose to do something. Every one of you who is a follower of Jesus. And then verse 22 sounds a bit odd. And he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's rather odd, isn't it? He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. What does all this mean? Let's have a listen to what it says in the Passion Translation. Jesus said, "Peace be to you. Just as the Father has sent me, I am now sending you." Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach the message of forgiveness, the forgiveness of sins, that people's sins will be forgiven when they respond to the message. But if you do not proclaim the message of forgiveness of sins, then they will remain guilty because they cannot respond to a message that they have not heard." Wow. For me, when I read a passage like this, it creates a lot of questions. The Father has sent Jesus, and then Jesus sends us. And so the question is, to whom have you been sent? If you're a follower of Jesus and Jesus has sent you, who have you been sent to? And sent to do what? What have you been sent to do? And Jesus breathed on them. Is this for real? Was it necessary? Why did he have to breathe and blow on them? And why did John record this really odd act? I mean, if Jesus blowing on people to receive the Holy Spirit, if this is legit, then what was the last time that you allowed him to blow on you? But also, how come they received the Holy Spirit here in John 20, and then in Acts 2, a few days later, we see the Holy Spirit coming on them again? Is there two baptisms of the Holy Spirit? Do you question that? And also, if the heart of the gospel message is about forgiveness, about being forgiven, how do you share this with others? And when was the last time you did share the amazing truth that sins can be forgiven? Now, in a jumbled order, I want to look at those questions. And the first one is, sent to do what? What are we sent to? Well, we know that we're carrying this message of forgiveness, which is found on the cross of Jesus. But if we go back earlier, Jesus sends out the 12. And when Jesus sends out the 12, he says this, "I give you my authority." And so from this, we can learn that the disciples of Jesus have the authority of Jesus. You have the same authority that Jesus had. And then it says, because you can drive out impure spirits, you can heal every disease and every sickness. This is in Matthew 10. And Jesus goes on further and he says that the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is your message. The kingdom of God is here. The reign of Jesus has started. He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. So what have you received? Stop and think for a minute. What have you received from God? Have you received eternal life? Have you received forgiveness of sins? Have you received deliverance? Have you received healing? Have you received his message? Have you received love? Have you received peace? Have you received joy? These are the things that we receive when we become followers of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, when you receive these things, give from that. I'm sending you to give from that. It's not something we retain for ourselves in our holy little huddle. We give from what we've received. Sent to do what? Well, we take a message. We take the message of the forgiveness of sins. We have authority to drive out demons. We have authority to heal every disease, every sickness. We are asked to proclaim the message that the kingdom of God has come. We have the authority to raise people from the dead, heal those with leprosy. And again, he says to drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. What have you received? And how do you give from what you have received? Now I want to look at those questions about Jesus breathing on them. I love reading through the Gospels and finding these creative things that Jesus does. How many of us have prayed for someone who's blind by spitting and making mud in our hand and smearing it on the person's eyes? Would that be offensive in our day and age? And here is Jesus breathing on the people, the disciples, and saying, receive the Holy Spirit. This isn't just some quirky thing that Jesus has thought up to do. Right back in Genesis 2, when the Lord God formed man from the dust and the ground, he breathed into him the breath of life. Right at the very beginning of mankind, God is the God who breathes life into humankind. Right at the beginning. And there are other times, but I want to pick up the Valley of Dry Bones, which John read to us. And the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel's looking, he's in the spirit, and he sees all these bones lying in the valley. And God asks Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? And the answer is, of course not. The people are dead, the flesh is rotted away, and the bones are dry. But Ezekiel answers, sovereign Lord, you alone know whether these bones can live. Then he said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. And then I will attach tendons and flesh and skin. So Ezekiel prophesied this as he was commanded. And as he was prophesying, these bones started rattling together and they came together bone to bone and tendons and flesh started to appear. But there was no breath in them. No life. Bodies with no life. And then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered And as I've been contemplating that, it's like here through Scripture is this God breathing life. His life, his strength, his power. And so when we come to John 20 and Jesus is standing in front of his disciples and does the physical act of blowing on the disciples, they will have been thinking, hey, this isn't something new. This has been going since year one or zero or whatever it was, day one. God's been doing this for a long time, breathing life. And as Jesus breathed in them, they received the Holy Spirit. They received life and power to start doing what they were called to do. And then because of the way my brain works, I ended up with another question. Should I prophesy that breath, the breath of God would breathe life, more life, into us? And what would that look like? John 20, Jesus stood in front of his disciples and says, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Then taking a deep breath, he blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I send you to preach about the forgiveness of sins. And then the people's sins will be forgiven when they respond to the message. Jesus, the I am, throughout history, is breathing the people into life. But it leaves this question, for me anyway, when was the last time I allowed God to blow his life and his power into me? See, I don't have any problem with John 20 and receiving the Holy Spirit, and then the same people in Acts 2 receiving the Holy Spirit. In fact, I believe that we should continually receive, and there are verses in the scriptures that talk about a continual inflowing of the Holy Spirit. For some reason, we think that a one-off act is all that is required. But it's a relationship. It's a relationship with God. I made friends with Debs once. And then I could add her onto Facebook. That proves she's a friend. But if I never spoke to her again, never saw her, didn't want to spend time with her, didn't want her in the house, would we really be friends? No, there's a continual relationship. I got married. What if at the end of the honeymoon I says, oh, well, you go and do your thing, I'll go and do mine. It's not a relationship. This relationship is a two-way thing. And there is a relationship to be had in the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. And that's why I can say, when did you last allow the Spirit to blow his life into you? And how do you do that? Where do you do it? When do you do it? How do we pursue and position ourselves to receive afresh from the Holy Spirit? For some of us, it's through worship. For some, it's prayer. Some, it's out in the bush. But it's usually by ourselves with God. Sometimes it's not though. Sometimes you actually have to go and ask, would you pray for me? And there's the laying on of hands and the empowerment that comes from that and the impartation of gifts through that. So there are many ways to receive what the Spirit wants for us. But the big thing for me is that if God is sending us and he's sending us to do something, we will never be able to achieve what he's sending us to do without the life-giving source of the Spirit flowing in us. If we don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit continually as part of our daily lives, we're going to struggle to do what God has called us to do. We have relationships with the TV, we have relationships with people, we have relationships with our phone, we scroll through Facebook, we look at Instagram, we swipe on Tinder. Well, I don't, you guys might. And there's all this relationship, but where's the relationship with Holy Spirit? Where's the acknowledgement that when I walk down the road, He is walking with me? Where's the acknowledgement that when I'm walking down the road and I see someone, that God might want to speak to them through me? Because He's sending me as a missionary. He's sending you. But to who? To do what? One of my favourite verses along these lines is in Romans 10, verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone speaking the message to them? And how can anyone preach the message unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. This isn't preaching like I am sharing a message with you. This is day-to-day stuff. This is a call for the church to be empowered by the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to blow into us the power of God, that we might start being sent with the message about good news, so that people can start responding to it. I don't think he's here. We can talk about Gary, eh? Because he's not here. I heard someone say to Gary the other day, Have you shared the good news of Jesus with anybody today? Oh, only five. It's been a slack day. I prefer to share the gospel with at least 10 people during the day. Do you know why that's happened? He's allowed the Spirit to change him. Gary's actually quite a reserved sort of person. And, I mean, at our first elders meeting, because Andrew and Gary have been voted on as elders, we're sitting in my office, the door's open, and we were just about to start in prayer, and Gary says, oh, hang on a minute, because he saw someone walking past the office, and he shot out the door because he wanted to share the love of Jesus with them. Gary's just an ordinary bloke, just like the rest of us, but he's allowed the Spirit to empower him, because he wants to share the good news. He fulfills this. He's been sent. He carries the good news. How can the message be proclaimed if the messengers have yet to be sent? Paul knows. He knew why he was called to God. He was called to reach the Gentiles. Jesus, he knew who he was called. He came to seek and save the lost. The Father has sent Jesus. Jesus sends us. To whom have you been sent? To carry the message of the good news. The Father has sent Jesus. Jesus sends us. To whom have you been sent? And what is going to be the demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you going to lay your hands on the sick and see them healed? Are you going to be one who shares the good news, the gospel message about the forgiveness of sins? Are you going to cast out demons? Are you going to raise the dead? Because when the message of God is shared, there is also a demonstration of the power of God. The Father has sent Jesus. Jesus sends us. To whom have you been sent? And when was the last time you allowed Holy Spirit to breathe life into you? Let's have a moment of quiet and then we'll pray. Jesus, would you breathe on us and speak over us again? Receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you speak over us those words, I am sending you. Holy Spirit, would you stir in us such a love for your message that we would overcome fear and be able to share the message with others? Holy Spirit, would you do such a work in us that we would overcome our doubt that you are the God that heals? And that we would step out in faith, believing and knowing that we have authority in you. Breathe on us again, Almighty God. Breathe your life into us. Breathe your boldness and your courage and your empowering into us. Because freely we have received from you. Lord, we don't want to be a lifeless people. We don't want to be selfish with what we've received. Holy Spirit, would you lead us into positions this coming week where we have to give an account for the gospel, where we have to share with someone the amazing story of Easter, where you hung on a cross and you died for us. You took the punishment of our sin that we might walk away freely forgiven by the Father and in relationship with Him. Would you give us eyes to hear and see what the Spirit is doing? Would you give us the nudge to offer prayer to people for their healing? For a changed circumstance, for peace. Lord, we have received peace. Surely we're in a position where we can freely give it in your name. Breathe on us again. Blow over us. Almighty God, breathe your life into us again, that we would be known as a bold people who proclaim the message without fear of the saving power of Jesus Christ, the risen one. that we would know that we have been sent, and that we would be faithful with what we have been sent with, as we are led to the people that we have been sent to. It amazes me, Almighty Lord, that you trust us to partner with you with your mission to seek and save the lost. May by the empowering of your Spirit, we would be faithful to the call and to the sending. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you want further prayer for around this, you can either come and see me or one of the elders or someone at your table. But that's it. You can continue to chat and fellowship, and there's still coffee there.